Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. So today on the Voice of Yoga, we will discuss the principles the United States of America were founded on, such as the land of the free and home of the brave. Listen as we explain how this great nation strayed from the foundation, one nation under God. In this show, Swami will discuss the concept of freedom and the role of union with the divine and true independence. Learn how to liberate yourself from the realms of suffering and decay. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and pray on prana. So Swami, I'd like to do is just give a few interesting fun facts about Independence Day that I got from windcalendar.com. And so just some quick history. Independence Day commemorates the signing of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776. Independence Day is the most secular holiday held in the United States. Americans take this day to celebrate all that is American, remembering the great sacrifices of our forefathers as they fought and won our independence from Great Britain. So, and some other interesting fun facts I have here, Independence Day was actually declared on July 2nd, and the Declaration of Independence document was dated July 4th, and it was signed on August 2nd. So, Swami, what I'd like to talk to you more about today is let's talk about our independence from the material world and trying to gearing ourselves towards more of a spiritual well-being.
Yeah, I think that's an important concept to start to explore a little bit, because that's where I really think our freedom and our independence will be found. The more embroiled we are in the world, which is dualistic, the more we are embroiled in karma, which is the law of two powers, it has a huge effect on the human being, because it puts us kind of like in a hypnotic state, and it doesn't enable us to really see what the books talk about, this thing called spirit. We have been touching upon this, that there's a big difference between duality, which are things that are in half, and the unified state, this concept of spirit or God. We're so removed from the importance of it and the necessity of it and what being joined with it can do for us as an individual, because we're so attached to the physical world, and we're so blinded by the pain, pleasure, control dramas of our physical bodies and the testimony of our senses, that we really don't have attention for this other dimension of reality, this other level of consciousness that is readily available to us. And when we turn away from the limitations of the material senses, we start to align ourselves with this resource. That's really when everything starts to move in a positive direction. And that's what we call initiation. That's when the human being now rejoins with truth, this concept of truth and wholeness. It joins with a resource of energy that is moving lifeward instead of something that is dying.
I like to think about the big picture you know, about us fighting for our freedom. And I think now at this particular moment in time that we're in collectively is I think we're all kind of fighting for our individual freedom. And that is, like I was saying earlier, the freedom from this material world so that we can seek this true independence with our divinity.
Yeah, and I like the fact that you're talking about fighting, because it really, fighting really hasn't gotten us much. And I think our true sense of power comes with our connection to spirit, which isn't a force that we use against other forces, that it's really a move from a belief in two powers, which is the law of karma, which is where all the battleground, all the struggle takes place. Once we have risen above duality and we have aligned ourselves with the unified state, with truth, then there's no longer any need for power. Because in the unified state, there are no opposing forces. It's the law of harmony. And that's the true power of the divine, is peace and love, which is very different than our understanding of these words, because from the perspective of duality, peace just means the absence of war. Love is the absence of hate. But anytime you have peace, you have the complementary unmanifested other part of war. And so you can't get away from it. But by rising above it and identifying with the unified state where you transcend the polar opposites, that concept of peace is absolute peace and there's no opposing force. From that perspective, when we start to saturate our consciousness with this type of imagery, that's where the physics starts to come in, where the like attracts like. Because most of our problems today really stem from the simple fact that we have beliefs, that we have accepted all of these limiting beliefs based on our human understanding of reality, which again stems from duality. But by us believing in sin, sickness, suffering, death, we actually create a biomagnetic force field in our consciousness that attracts and it creates the appearance of it in our reality. But once we start to figure out how we're doing that and we decide that we want to get out of it, freedom from the testimony of our senses is where it begins. And we start to look at things from the perspective of the absolute. But spirit is whole, it's complete, and our senses work on contrast. So nothing's going to report in our senses. And from that perspective, you kind of have to acquire a taste for spirit. And it's very subtle because it's invisible and intangible. But once you saturate your consciousness with the presence of it, and you start to have a sense for the benefit of absolute health, absolute love, absolute peace, happiness, goodness, then you create the biomagnetic force field that draws that to you. And also, by you witnessing other people from that perspective, you lift them up into that consciousness. So it's very positive. And it is liberating.
Well, is it true that you can't believe in sin, sickness, and death and be spiritual?
Exactly. You just can't do it. In fact, you can't believe in sin, sickness, suffering, and believe in God because they don't mix. And that wisdom is supported by the Bible. The Bible actually tells us that a friend of the world is an enemy of God's. And Jesus tells us that you can't serve two masters. And that's what a lot of us do. And I think one of the saddest things are the ones that are embroiled in the physical world and yet think that they're being spiritual because they have a human concept of what they think being spiritual is. But that's not demonstrable. You can't demonstrate that. And the powers that are spoken of in Scripture are not going to be accessible to you. And it kind of reminds me of what von Goethe said, none are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe that they're free. And that's what I think is happening to America, is that we think indulgence in the physical world is our expression of freedom. We think freedom is our ability to get whatever we want, when in fact, true freedom is your ability to not want anything, or as it's said in Scripture, to desire nothing.
Well, it's interesting, because I know we say one nation under God, but I think we also have to really understand is that, well, what is God?
Right. And that's, again, that's the $64,000 question that if you ask 10 people, you might get 10 different descriptions of it. So the way that you really want to address that is try and measure your concept of God against what is written in Scripture, because I really like in Genesis 1 where it says that the human is made in the image and likeness of God. But what we have done with that is we think now that God takes on human form. We think God has a material form, when in fact the opposite is true. It's the human is made in the image and likeness of God, meaning that we are spirit. And spirit is invisible and it's intangible. So your concept of God should start with that. And the other thing is that it's whole, it's complete, so it doesn't report in our senses. And so if you are working with an image that is invisible, intangible, everywhere and in everything, you've got a better starting point than if you have some image of a cosmic puppeteer that has a human form with human qualities and supernatural powers, which is a really distorted image to work with.
You had talked about desire earlier. And I think you're right in saying that I don't think we understand what desire is and how it even relates to the intention of religion.
Yeah, desire is a fulcrum for religion. And the way it plays out, I love what Jesus said, that we must love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. And that's desire, that we must desire this invisible, intangible source of sustenance and not something that is visible and tangible or an image that comes out of creation, that we must really focus on the Creator and not the appearances of things, because those are things that are in half. And the Buddhists say the same thing, that we must desire nothing. But these terms are really difficult for most of us to actualize and experience, because most of the Buddhists I know, they are actually trying to stop desire. They're trying to stop thinking. Whereas a more practical way of actualizing it is to desire this void or this nothing, this invisible, intangible source of sustenance. And when you do, then like attracts like.
Well, I think this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
No.
Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, I have a kind of a neat quote here from John F. Kennedy. And the quote is, "Let every nation know whether it wishes us well or ill, we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and success of liberty." So my question to you is, how are we to assure our success in gaining this independence from the material world and having this relationship with our divinity?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with moving beyond the battlefield, moving beyond the belief in two powers, that there is a force out there, that there is evil out there, and that we have to do something to defend against it. So once you start to move away from that mentality and you kind of get that out of your consciousness and you start to see that the presence of God takes us out of duality and moves us into an understanding of one power. And if God is everywhere and in everything, and all there is God, and God is pure goodness, and God is pure harmony, then it's time to put the guns down, because there's nothing that is opposing us. And from that understanding, that's what when we do the labyrinth on in theory two, when we say, to fight with spiritual weapons, this is what we're talking about, is to get these limiting concepts out of our consciousness, because that's what keeps us on the battlefield, because we have a belief in conflict. And once you have a better understanding of yourself as a whole person, that there aren't opposing forces, that all there is just pure harmony, pure goodness, eternal life. That's another thing, that once you understand that you are an eternal spiritual being, it gets us out of the fear that we're going to die. It gets us out of the limited perspective of seeing yourself from a body-bound sense of awareness. And these are things that are far more liberating. You know, being able to park your car where you think you want to.
Well, I can't help thinking that we may have many listeners out there tuning into this show that are maybe saying to themselves, well, you're saying that this isn't real, that my life and my existence isn't real, but yet my senses tell me something different. You know, I may have a headache, or I may have this shoulder problem, or whatever it might be. I have this situation. So yeah, this is very real to me. So how do we expose the lie?
Well, the answer is that you focus on the truth. And that's where the whole thing of faith comes in, which is belief in truth. That if after a while you start to understand that we are eternal spiritual beings, that is the only truth. That is the one thing that is backed by principle. It is backed by divine law. That is the one thing that will play out if you are able to maintain your sense of awareness for it. And that's what temptation is all about. It's going back to the testimony of the senses. It's going back to what we think is real. When we start to do that, of course, it fails because it can only work if you have this exclusive relationship with the divine, that the divine becomes your sole source of sustenance, that you no longer live by human will, you no longer labor, but you live by grace. And once you start doing that and you start leaning on the sustaining infinite and you start to get results, that's the main thing. That's why we say, don't believe anything, but make it demonstrable. Try it. Try doing something without forcing it, without trying to manipulate your external environment. Try and do it from a sense of belief that God is on the field. He's going to make crooked places before me straight, and He's going to prepare the way for me. And you actually start to depend on that. And you let that go before you. And you'll be amazed at how it works.
Now, I think what you're saying is you're not just saying to let go and let God, that there's actually something else we need to do. We need to develop this belief system in that God is everywhere and in everything.
Yeah, and the other thing is you start to believe in the one, that there's only one force in the universe, and there is no opposing force to it. The other thing is that you start to see that you are at one with that force. And so you're in tandem with divine law now. If you're experiencing anything other than peace, love, happiness, goodness, then those are the indicators that you are out of harmony with it, which means that you have a belief in something else, something other than this one true God that they talk about. And when you have this belief and you hold your attention to it, things start to happen. Matter and mind come together with new information. And your whole sense of self starts to expand beyond the limits of separateness. So you move out of a personal sense of I into this spiritual sense of selfhood. And you're backed by truth. Now, one of the things that you start to learn is that you can't do this in part. The minute that something happens in the outside world and you react to it and you have that knee-jerk response, you are immediately out of the grace of God and you're subject to the laws of karma. So again, one of the things we're always saying is practice makes perfect only when practice is perfect. And it's not that easy to keep your attention on the invisible. The visible is right there in your face, like you say. It's challenging. But if you can do it, it's rewarding.
You know, I think you're right when you say that it's challenging, because I think it's very difficult for us not to have some kind of a judgment if we're witnessing something happening in front of us, you know, maybe a couple arguing, we realize that that's not true. So I think it'd be really hard for us to work on not reacting. And I realize that's a really important thing that we've been working on lately.
Right. Because the minute you react, you let go of the reins. You fall back into, it's the fall from Eden in the Bible. You're back in the realms of suffering and decay. But again, you need to practice. That's why we have a spiritual practice. You don't just show up the day of the game, that you're practicing. And what you're practicing is keeping your attention on the invisible, keeping your attention on the concept of divine law, and not falling prey to the testimony of the senses. Independent of whatever it is that's happening out there, you can hold your attention to truth. And by holding your attention to truth, it will turn around the appearance. It will have the effect. And if it doesn't, then you don't have your attention on truth. You're working with a concept of truth. Or you just humanly thinking that you're focused on truth. But the physics of spirituality, this is a science and it must play out.
You know, there's something that you told me a while back that I've been trying to work with every day, and that is, God is everywhere now. And that is such a powerful affirmation, for lack of a better word, that I've been using.
Right. And especially as you start to open up with your concept of what you think God is, and you start to align it with a cosmic image, but you start to align it with the force right now that is supporting our lives and the force right now that is animating the universe. And then you start to expand it into what we call in yoga, namaste. That if I am God's idea and I am made in the image and likeness of the divine, so is everyone else out there. And the more that you can see that in yourself, and the more that you can see that in others, then the easier it is for them to see it in themselves. Especially when you're witnessing what we call discord. Because once your concept of God is that God is purely good, God is pure divine love, and can't be anything else but that. And anything that is not of that quality is not made by God. And it is not backed by principle. And the only thing that's keeping it alive is human belief in it. The cosmic belief in sin, sickness, suffering, death. These are all things that are beliefs. But they're not principle. They're not backed by divine law.
Well, I kind of have a quick question for you. So let's say, for example, I'm in a checkout line somewhere, whatever, and maybe there's somebody behind me and they cough. Of course, I want everybody to not have sickness. And, you know, I know you say that we shouldn't pray for them. So what should we do if we see something, if we recognize something like that, that we would like to have changed? What should we do instead?
Well, just what you said, you can't do that. You can't recognize it. If you're living out of truth, then it's not real. The minute you acknowledge it, or the minute you try and change it, or you make judgment on it, you've accepted it. And so it's part of your belief. So you start out by working on purifying your beliefs, that no matter where you look, you see oneness. You see the presence of divine law. And that's all you see. Then eventually, you'll never have any conflicts.
Well, I certainly hope this helps everybody gain their own sense of independence, for sure. So with that, I guess it's almost time to start closing down our program for today. So listeners, please visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com. On that homepage, you can scroll down about three quarters of the way. You'll see other of our shows there listed under Swami Says Recent Posts. And be sure to tune in next Monday. We're sure to have another great program for you for your spiritual development. So Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to wish everybody success with their liberation and their freedom from the limiting forces of the material world. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you all for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.